Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Wednesday, the 22nd of August, recording at 9:47 p.m., and that's British summertime. Now, first a quick look at the highlights here today. Asian stock markets, well, mixed. ASEAN steady, as we so often see. The rest, mostly a little bit of easing. One of the bigger declines, the Hang Seng Index was down just over 1%. Now, Europe saw some profit-taking in here. This had really started yesterday, and it also reflects the overbought short-term condition. And so we had declines across the boards, and some of them were over 2%. Spain, in that category, also Sweden, Denmark was hit. Euro stocks index down 1.5%. The UK, the UK market fell almost as much. Now, in the Americas, we had a softer tone for much of the day until the Fed's minutes came out, and they were very much indicating that the Fed, plenty of the FOMC members favored easing soon if there wasn't a pickup in GDP growth. And that's a Bloomberg headline, actually, that I've used here today. So that actually cut back the losses. They weren't huge, but I think the Dow was down about 70 points or so. Well, it ended down 30, but the S&P was just a fraction higher, and the NASDAQ was up nearly 0.25%. We had quite a strong rally in long-dated government bonds. Remember, they'd been quite, I'm talking bond prices now, they'd been quite weak and had fallen back to prior support levels and have bounced from those levels. And as I speak, the U.S. 30-year bond is up 1.24 seconds. That's near the high of the day and brings it up to 1.4801. And in currencies, the Fed's announcement reversed a very modest rally that we had in the U.S. dollar. And so we're left here with the Aussie back above 105, just. And I can see the Euro. Euro did well here today. More short covering, up to 1.2525. Sterling, 1.5881. So the dollar pretty much weak across the boards, including down against the yen. Where is that now? That's 78.55. Sorry, just reading it off my busy screen. And against that background of that softer dollar and the Fed's announcement, precious metals, which had been mixed. We had platinum and palladium to the before the announcement, and they took off. But give you the closes here, which platinum's at I should talk about after hours trading. It's platinum is at 1535.5. That's up almost $28, and it has been $5.5 higher. Silver up to 29.87, and we've got palladium up to 6.32. These are big gains here again today. We've got gold at 16.54.5. And the industrial metals were also higher across the boards, but not so much. Oil was a little bit firmer. The Brent at 115, WTI 97.46. They both recovered from modest losses. We had very modest losses in the grain and bean complex, but remember they'd been very strong yesterday. Some of the other agricultural commodities, such as cotton and coffee, were a little lower in here today as well. Okay, so what's going on overall? Well, we've had that steady, very steady stock market performance since the beginning of June, and that is bumping up against some resistance levels. We have a short-term overbought condition. We have not had any technical deterioration. Well, we've had a little bit that we can see. In some of those European indices, they have fallen back fairly sharply in here today. They were the most overbought. They showed the relative strength on the way up. So we were short-term overbought and due for some sort of reaction, and commodity prices are a sufficient catalyst as far as I'm concerned. Now, how much are we going to see? And what about this Fed statement? Well, I've described it as cheerleading, and as such, that's probably the Fed's best policy at this time. One point that I've mentioned on numerous occasions is that the Fed does not want to announce a new version of QE at this stage. That would be controversial, not least in the countdown to the presidential election. The Fed does not want to be seen as favoring either party. And also, more QE would certainly be an admission that the earlier measures had not worked out as well as they had previously hoped. Now, if cheerleading can support the stock market, and it did today, the Fed will hope that that will encourage more bank lending, bolster consumer confidence, leading to more business spending. And it could, but it certainly won't do any harm. Cheerleading from a central bank never does, but there are plenty of other factors on people's minds. Consumers in the West are still deleveraging, and few of them trust the stock market to the extent that they did in earlier decades. Job insecurity is a concern, so is the cost of living, which is much higher than CPI, as everyone knows. And they also know that it's going to go higher. We're going to have the food price increases. And in the United States, well, for some, there are certainly going to be some tax increases, I assume. Now, business leaders also are concerned about the global economy in addition to their domestic market, which is not firing on all cylinders really anywhere. In the U.S., I've already mentioned, I think, the uncertainty about the post-election policies, not least taxation, and increases in capital gains taxes. And that's certainly sufficient reason for additional caution. I've also mentioned in recent broadcasts these rising commodity prices because they are on a collision course here with the stock market rally. The two often go together. The stock market will ignore the commodity price rallies for quite a while. They actually see that as a confirmation that the optimism that the stock market is showing is justified in terms of global GDP growth and overall demand. But as speculative money continues to drive those commodity prices higher, as they're certainly doing in crude oil, as I've mentioned on innumerable occasions, and perhaps to a certain extent in the grain and bean complex, although there, unlike crude, there are really very significant fundamental factors involving the crop damage that we've seen in the U.S., which is not being offset by production elsewhere. So, against that background, I would not be at all surprised to see a reaction or two in September and perhaps the first half of October. But I do think we're on course here to remain on course. I've mentioned this before, to see somewhat higher levels by year end for stock markets. And I think Fuller Money themes will certainly be performing well against that background. If you want a speculative flutter, it's gold shares because they have been hammered, and we've got some real strength showing now in precious metals. More on that in a minute. Let's take the bond markets here. I have been mentioning that they had fallen back, bond prices had fallen back on top of previous trading ranges, which were represented the first level of potential support. They were looking a little bit overextended as well. They'd also returned to their, or had fallen back to their rising 200-day moving averages, another area of potential support. And so they are due for a bounce. They're getting quite a good bounce in here today, and it'll be interesting to see what happens thereafter. I don't think that the situation justifies a rally going all the way back up and testing their recent highs. In other words, I don't think there's sufficient fundamental or speculative justification really for bond yields to go back down and retest, let alone extend their lows. I don't think that's going to happen, but we will see. Now, US dollar is range bound here overall, but there has been some notable softening in that as confidence has improved in the stock market, as people have been less apocalyptic in their forecasts, as the euro situation has looked less dire, at least in terms of the imminent collapse that so many people had been forecasting, although not Fuller Money, fortunately. The dollar has obviously lost some of its safe haven allure, and that people have felt less need for that. And that's being reflected in precious metals and other commodities to a certain degree. But I think there's more to the precious metal story than just that. And we have a number of strands here, but the main one is the support building that I talked about in the cyclical timing of these moves. We are moving now. We are now in the early days of a favorable seasonal pattern. We did have a very big corrective phase. Sentiment had been quite mixed towards precious metals. The old die-hard gold bulls who were bullish 24/7, gold bugs, they of course remained bullish, although maybe were a little quieter. But plenty of people, including a number of technicians, had been forecasting a downward break. I'd like to have a shrinking dollar or a shrinking pound or even a shrinking euro for every bearish comment on gold that has come through my box, my email box recently, and there've certainly been plenty of them. A lot of them is, say, talking about top formations. Well, this is where the benefit of the chart seminar comes in, because there was a top, but the top was that parabolic acceleration that we saw back in August of last year. It was really pretty much the whole summer and peaking in late August and early September. That was the classic type 1 accelerated top, and it led to a dramatic pullback. That's the type 2 characteristic, and then we had a fair amount of right-hand extension, giving the broadening patterns. You had all three of those major topping characteristics, and that caused quite a significant reaction as we as we know. But then we had those lows in September and also December. And more recently, back in what was it, in May and June, that precious metals had retested those lows, and they ranged and they found support there and continued to range and then began to show rising lows overall. Now, I maintain that that was a support building phase. It had all the earmarks of a support building phase, but that one would not have confirmation of that until we had. We only get the confirmation with hindsight. In other words, when we get an uptrend that is clearly established. Well, we're certainly heading in that direction. Yesterday, gold broke above its 200-day moving average, and we do have a breakout from the trading range that it had been in. And this crossing of the 650 level, I think, will ring a few more bells with people. And they're going to look at those charts and say various things that don't feature very often in our technical vocabulary, but you'll know what I mean, and you'll forgive me for mentioning them. So they'll be saying triple bottom, they'll be saying base formation. Well, call it what you like. It's an overall support building process, and I think that we are going to see a significant rally here between now and year end. I'll put it this way. We'd need to see gold push right back down below the 1600 level, probably fairly sharply, to question that hypothesis. I like the commonality. We've got all four of the precious metals moving. Platinum had been a bit of a catalyst, although the potential was evident in other precious metals, gold and silver, earlier than that. Platinum also crossed its 200-day moving average in here today, and those same levels are being tested today by silver and also palladium. The situation in South Africa has just reminded people that a temporary surplus in materials can very quickly turn into a deficit if anything goes wrong with the production. So this is very, very interesting, and I think that this sort of grand conjunction of factors, the support building, the seasonal factors. Everybody knows that if the Fed does anything, it's likely to be in the form of additional stimulus. Did I mention low interest rates? The fact that a lot of people had come out of precious metals, the fact that number of people coming back from holidays say, well, where's the action right now? Well, it's speaking loudly and clearly from the precious metals sector. At a time when stock markets are overextended and bonds are not all that enticing. So, if these are the so-called dog days of summer, all I can say is woof, and all the best to all of you.